I thought the season was over. We got a bigger turnout for this than. Yeah. 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 Hell, I even got Timber Ray here.
That's right.
No, it doesn't. Notre Dame's out of the tournament. Mike Bray never called for a scouting report. That's what happens.
Okay, guys, well, we're just doing our season wrap up. We'll just state this plan. Just kind of go ahead and any follow up questions you have on the season. Go ahead and fire them
up. So, Brett, what did you think about year one?
Obviously, very pleased. Proud of how hard our guys competed this year. And you know, certainly there was a learning curve, and it took us a while to get to play the way that I wanted us to play. Some of that's to be expected, certainly. But I thought by, you know, middle to late December, I thought our guys really started to embrace our style, had some success, which gave them some confidence, which got the ball rolling, you know, even faster towards them believing that this was a good way to play, good way for them to be successful, both individually and collectively as a team. And certainly felt like our guys played consistently well throughout most of the ACC season and played really hard. And played pretty good basketball down the stretch, you know, and won some games that were very important to get us an NCAA tournament bid. And so all in all, it was pretty good year.
Were you surprised? I think maybe a lot of people.
I don't know. It's so new for me because hadn't been in the league and didn't really know that much about some of the teams. As I mentioned, I felt like our two seniors were good players. When I worked them out individually, I felt like both guys were good players. You know, I thought Jure was better than people thought. I thought he was more talented than maybe people realized and could be utilized in a way to be more successful and certainly would have the opportunity this year. I knew DeMontez was a good player and a very good competitor. You know, the biggest questions for me were, would our guys believe that our style of play was something that could help them be successful, and would they embrace that? And that part you never really know. And there were a lot of challenges early. There were a lot of individual meetings, and there were some frustrating times by me, some days where I was frustrated and didn't know if we'd do as well as we could. Because I thought we could play better than we were playing. But then as the year went on, and I think I started to see the guys buying in. I started to see them gaining confidence. You know, I thought we had a chance to be pretty good.
Is it maybe even more rewarding because of the roller coaster ride you kind of had there early in the season?
Well, I think it makes you appreciate the success more when you've had to really fight through some things, when you battle some adversity and when – You know, we had guys leave early, and I don't know how our guys thought I would respond, but, you know, it was like my message was just that, hey, whoever's here is like, that's what we're going to go with, and we're still going to be successful. And, you know, we're never going to use any of those things as excuses, and I don't care who's here, how much, you know, they're playing or whatnot. When you're on the court, you're expected to give maximum effort. And if you can't buy into what we're doing completely, then you shouldn't be here. And, you know, I think they understood pretty quickly that I was pretty serious and honest about when I speak, they know that I'm not using maybe typical coach speak or some of those kinds of things. I think I speak to them in a very frank manner, very straightforward. You know, and I think the longer that we're with each other, they appreciate it because I think they realize that I'm telling them the truth and that trying to demand their best. Well, it's, you know, it's really not as much. It's not as much as you would like it to be. And what I mean by that is, this is a major difference for me. We, you know, because of, you know, the guys are on spring break this week. We'll probably lift next week, start to do some individuals the week after. But really, we're only going to get 3 weeks of individuals. And it's hard to make guys much better in 3 weeks. You can do a little bit, but not enough to make significant gains. And then you have the week before finals where you got to stop, and then finals. And then you really can't work with your guys anymore. And that's the frustrating thing. The one thing that was unbelievable about Wright State, it was challenging at times, but we were on the quarter system, so we didn't finish till June. And so we almost had 6 to 8 weeks of individual work in the spring. And that was phenomenal. I thought we really made strides with our teams in the spring and made strides with guys individually because we had enough time to build really good habits. I don't know that 3 weeks is enough time to change a guy's shot or to you know, by the time you kind of get them in, back in shape a little bit and get them doing what you want them to do, you're almost done and now it's on them again. I think the value of this offseason comes from the fact that we've had a little success. Hopefully our guys understand what our expectation levels are and that there's a hunger there to continue to be successful and that they're going to now work at trying to be, I guess, ensuring that the guys going forward will work at a rate that we need them to work to be successful. And, you know, it'll be interesting because we're going to have a whole new leadership group, Andre and Tanner, and Andre and Tanner especially, will really have to take over the leadership role for this team. And, you know, they need to be more vocal. They need to really get to our other players and make sure that those guys are as invested as we need them to be. Because our team is still we have a lot of guys that have made improvements, but they have to make another step if we're going to be successful next season.
Have you ever been through a season like this? It just, I mean, Tanner called it a roller coaster at one point late in the season, and maybe that's what it was. If you have, can you remember going through a season?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it was a pretty good roller coaster if it was a roller coaster. You know, there's a lot of teams that would like to have a roller coaster ride like that. We didn't play as well in the beginning. And, you know, my first year at Wright State was eerily similar from the standpoint of, we had a successful season. It took us till about middle of December, late December, to really start playing well. But when we did, we played pretty darn good. And so there were some similarities to my first year at Wright State.
How about in terms of high points, low points? What jumps out? I said Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, that we didn't. You know, we lost. I think Virginia is. I think Virginia was more difficult to play against than people realize, and I think Virginia will be very good next year. But certainly, it was a game that you look like we could win. North Carolina State, a game we could possibly have won and didn't win. Those were games that, you know, but they're road games in the ACC, and that's difficult. But certainly, those were games that we had opportunities and didn't play as well as we would have liked. I don't know if those, you know, are the. The low points, you know, a personal low point for me was our loss at Florida State. I thought that, you know, I thought we really took, like, showed that we weren't embracing what we were talking about as a team. We played it for 20 minutes, and for whatever reason, even at halftime, I couldn't get our guys to really buy in, to really believe, to really be excited, to understand this opportunity. We were in a little bit of a doldrum, and that was a missed opportunity.
You said something about they wanted it more than you did or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know that they wanted it more. I don't think our guys realized the opportunity in front of them. Like the fact that you had a team that was picked top three or four in your league and you're on their home court. Now, it wasn't a great environment that night. They didn't have that many students because of the – but we had them – you know, we had ourselves in a great position to go get an early road win in the ACC, and we just didn't do anything in the second half to play like a team that wanted to win the game when we played that way for 20 minutes. And I think, I guess that was unbelievably frustrating for me because, it just showed that our guys weren't fully vested in what we were doing, and we still had work to do.
Probably any one of those three would have kept you out.
Yeah, I would think. I would think.
Talk about what strides Milton and Devin need to make in the offseason.
You're going to be more of a marked man now. Jeray and DeMontez were the guys that basically, if you look for, the scouting report of each team would have been, hey, the guy we got to stop on the perimeter is DeMontez Stitt. The guy we got to stop in the post is Jeray Grant. And there's a big difference when you're the lead dog in a scouting report as opposed to a guy that they talk about kind of secondarily. There's also more pressure and responsibility you feel to produce for your team. And some kids handle that better than others. And until you've been in that situation, and neither one of those kids have in their careers at Clemson, you don't know how guys are going to respond. And so there's a maturity level there. You can't be a good player and not play consistently well. You can't be an inconsistent player. Those guys could be inconsistent this year as sophomores. They could have a good game. One of the two could have a good game, and we probably would be okay because DeMontez and Jeray usually had good games. Same kind of goes for Andre. Andre played pretty well most of the time, but he could have an off night every once in a while, and we could still do all right. It's the same for Andre. Andre's now going to be more of a marked man on the perimeter. And that's going to be a major challenge for him. And that's where guys have to, you have to expand your game. Andre's got to be able to score in more ways. Devin and Milt both have to become more consistent. They both can make a shot. They can both score a little bit around the basket. But I don't know that either one of them have a go-to. I don't know that you would just, if you really needed a basket, that there's a spot you could go to get him the ball right now and say you feel really good about it. And that's a major difference. I think that's the major difference for our team and a major key for our team is like who are we going to be able to go to next year when we really need a basket? I mean, it was a little bit that way this year, but with DeMontez and Jeray, Jeray emerged into a very good option. DeMontez was a solid option all year, and Andre and the other two guys were good third, fourth, and fifth options, and that's why we were pretty good because there could be five guys, and we needed three of them to have good games.
Do you want Devin to be more of a power post player, or do you think
it's not? I think he has to become better at it. I think he certainly has to develop more of a back-to-the-basket game, and I thought his back-to-the-basket game got better the longer the season went. But that's going to take some time. That's going to take, that's what's challenging is, we're going to have 3 weeks to work on some of that with him, but you can't do that in 3 weeks. So then May, June, and July, and August, he's got to do that on his own, and he's got to be committed to becoming a better player. A consistent score, and he better do that May, June, July, and August. Basketball better become a high priority in his life, and that's when his game will improve.
Brad, how the message of your program and the season being received out on the recruiting trail?
It's good. I think people like the way we play. I think they see how hard our guys play, and they see that our guys share the ball, and the ball moves a lot more, and so I think people view it as a fun way to play, as a way that you're going to play with a group of guys, and it's a very team-oriented approach, and I always think that's viewed well, especially by coaches, and certainly the job of maybe doing better than people expected gives our staff credibility. We've had some coaches come through and watch us practice, and we certainly know that guys watch our games, and so I think coaches feel like we've done a good job, and that you know, they're probably, some of it is that they want to know more about us.
You plan on signing at least one more player in the playoffs?
Probably. You know, we're never know. We might sign two, but you know, it's just kind of, we're going to see if we find somebody that we feel is a good fit. We'll do it, and if not, we'll sit tight. But I certainly think that that could be an option.
Your thoughts about as Milton sort of progressed over the year, he became a pretty good sixth man.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming he's no longer a sixth man, do you? You kind of lose something at this point. You wouldn't have a sixth man.
No, right? Yeah, you don't know. I mean, again, you. We kind of, last year's team really had probably had six guys that were pretty consistent, but we had six guys that could all make a basket in the last 10 minutes of a game, and it wouldn't surprise you, I guess. We had more options. You know, we lost our two main ones. Now, we still have some other guys that are back that have an opportunity, but they clearly need to emerge. They need to move from the secondary option to a couple of primary options, and then we got to find a couple of guys, whether they're freshmen that we recruited or, you know, somebody else in the program currently that can move into a secondary option on a regular basis. And that's sometimes that's easier said than done. But you never know. You hope that kids are excited by that situation in terms of having that opportunity and embrace it and really work hard and see that there's a great opportunity for me to increase my role or increase my production.
Where does Tanner fit in those options?
He, you know what? Tanner is not really – he's one of those six. He will never be the primary guy. He's not built that way. That's not what he does. That's not who he is. But Tanner's a consistent player, so he plays because as a coach, you know what you're going to get when you put Tanner on the court. And, you know, it's funny. I tell kids at camp, I tell kids in our program, I tell recruits that, like, if I know what you're going to give me, and usually you're going to give me some defense, you're going to take care of the ball, and you know what to do, those three things. I haven't said one thing about making a basket yet. You're going to play. Now, how many minutes you play, I don't know. But if you can defend, if you can take care of the ball, make other people better with some passing, know what to do, you're going to play. And Tanner, like, usually does all three of those things reasonably well every game. And so he's out there a lot. And, you know, you need just some guys that do those things, that you don't have to worry about some of the other things. And and those are his strengths. Those are the things that he does well, as evidenced by his assist turnover and some of his high-level assist games.
When DeMontis came in, Oliver said, you're the point guard. Is that a possibility, the group you got coming in?
I don't think so. Again, it's hard. I don't – we have enough guys coming back that – I mean, there could be a freshman that could start. Absolutely. There could be a freshman that could come in and start. Who is that? I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen those guys enough to know, and they haven't done anything in our practices to warrant that, and I think it would be disrespectful to the guys that are in the program to talk about that. But I do think there's opportunity there, whether they're ready to take advantage of it or not, I don't know.
Could you share a few thoughts on the two guys that you already have signed?
Mm-hmm. TJ and Sapp and Bernard. Yeah, TJ, combo guard, can make a three, can handle the ball, plays with good passion, emotion, confident young man, needs to get a little stronger, but – like his confidence, like his versatility, and think he's a guy that has a chance to have a good career for us. Bernard, kind of the same way, just at a different position. He's I mean, most people would classify him as a four-man or whatever. He's a forward that can do some different things. He can rebound his position. I think he can make an occasional three. I think he's probably a very good mid-range shooter. I think he can put it on the ground for a dribble or two and take it to the basket. You know, he's going to have to – you know, it's more difficult for big kids. So how well he adjusts to the physicality – and the speed and size that he's going to play against, because it's going to be bigger, will determine how much he's ready to go and how well he does. But I think he has a pretty good feel, and I think he's got the skill set that I like for those kinds of players.
What can you tell us about your assistants and interest in them?
Yeah, we've had a couple of my staff members get contacted by some schools, and you know, I think that speaks to the quality of our staff. I've got good assistant coaches, from Coach Bender at the ops spot all the way to Coach Ray and Coach Winnecke and Coach Grant. I've got, you know, guys that I think all are going to be good head coaches one day, and you know, the way I run my program, they all get involved in all aspects of the program. So they, you know, they recruit, they coach, they work guys out, they speak, they, you know, try to do everything I can to prepare them to be ready for when they get their opportunity. And, you know, I think probably a couple of them are ready to be head coaches very soon. Don't want them to leave, but certainly want to do anything I can to help them further their careers and just see what happens.
Did Jerry Wainwright coach you that way? Did everybody do everything?
A little bit. He probably kept us a little more in a – at times we were in different positions. It kind of depended on the staff. Like early on when I was younger, I was much more just basketball. As I got older and got more experience – you know, obviously my job changed from the standpoint of I still always did a lot of basketball, but I got more involved, more heavily involved in recruiting and other things. And we had another guy that did a lot of recruiting too. But I also think like the college coach I played for, Coach Cruz, who I work for, they certainly had everybody involved in everything. And I think especially with the guys I have on my staff now, younger guys that, not really younger, but guys that are eager and have been in the business a while and have good experience and certainly have the goal of being a head coach one day, you know, you need to do that. And I'm fortunate that my assistant that took over at Wright State did a good job this year, and he's going to have that program going well, so. Hopefully one of my other guys will get a chance at some time here in the future.
How about you?
I don't talk, and I figured this question would come, but I tell you right now, I don't talk about jobs and rumors and have I been contacted, will I be contacted. I don't comment about any of those things.
Have you and Terry Don, though, gotten together? He
commented. Actually, we did today. Terry Don and I had our first kind of postseason meeting, and talked about, you know, some issues and some things, and, you know, we're going to get back together probably beginning of next week. And Terry Don's been great. He was very supportive early on when we weren't playing as well. And I think, you know, he popped his head into some practices and was around our team and liked what we were doing. And you know, he told me from day one as he was watching our team, you guys are going to be fine. And he's been great all year. He's around, but he's not a micromanager. He lets you do your job. And he's as supportive as he can be, and he's been great. Our meeting today went very well, and I have a very good relationship with Terry Don. And
what is it safe to say? And again, I understand, you know, you don't want to comment about any of that stuff, but I mean, you're at an ACC school. Would
yeah.
it take you to be wowed by somebody else after 1 year to move, especially since, you know, you seem to have things entrenched here? I mean, just thoughts on that.
Oh, I really like Clemson now. You know, this is a good place. I wouldn't have come here in the first spot just to come to Clemson. You know, I had interviews with other BCS schools during my time and other schools that were high-paying jobs that maybe weren't BCS, and some I was interested in, some I wasn't. But I knew when I was – you know, when this job came open, and it was one that I coveted, that I felt like this was a good place. I felt like it was a place that could be successful. I knew there were going to be some challenges, and there are. But I also felt like it was a place that fit me. It was good for my family. And most of, you know, a lot of my decisions will be based on the girls in my life. That's my wife and my daughters are, you know, the biggest part of my life. And so I'm always going to have their interest in mind. You know, the business is very, it's difficult. People like you one day, they don't like you the next. And things change. Administration changes. The landscape changes at places. Sometimes things feel good and everything's the way you want it, and you feel like the people that you're working with are all working together. I think when you're at schools, you know, the thing that I'm always looking for is I want to be at a place where I feel like we're all paddling together. If you're not at a place where you're all paddling together, you better be at some really good place to win. And, you know, that's one of the things Terry Don has been terrific and helped us and been supportive. And you know, wants to continue to try to do things to make this better. And I always want to be at a place where we're trying to move forward. You know, we've got two jobs open in our league. If you don't think they're going to try to do things to make their situations better for their new coaches, then, you know, it's probably why there's openings right now. So we better keep making moves forward or it's difficult. You already have two superpowers in your league and everybody else that's working at it. So you better continue to make progress. And, you know, I'm encouraged that our administration here wants to do that.
It sounds like then your talk with him now would be about an extension of you, but also maybe specific to getting a practice facility as they introduced back in January,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not just about, you know, it's about, is the experience a good one for your players? Are you doing everything you can to ensure that you have every opportunity to be successful in recruiting? Are you investing in facilities to show that basketball is important at your school? Is there a commitment on campus to make sure that your players have a very good experience, not just with basketball, but they have a good experience in school? And all those things have to be going well for you to have an opportunity to have a good program. And what I mean by a good program is consistent success. And that's, you know, that's important. That's what I want to do, is I want to be at a place where we can have some consistent success. I have been at two other places and we've had it. And I guess when you don't feel like that's happening, that's when your eye starts to wander and you don't know if we're all going in the same direction. Then you better start listening to some other people. I don't know. It's not. I mean, you got to raise money and build a facility. It's not going to happen next year. But you know, the sooner we get the money, the sooner the building will go up. The thing that I'm excited about is Terry Don wants me to be a part of the planning of the building, and wants me to be a part of some of the decision making of how to make it a building that can be, you know, more useful for our team. I think, you know, Coach Coleman and I are the ones that are here every day using it with our players and student athletes, so we know the challenges. And We're the ones on the front lines, and so it's, you know, it's nice to be able to have a say of what's going on.
Brad, you expecting everybody who's supposed to be back on the roster to be back?
Yeah, as far as I know. Now, our guys are on spring break, and, you know, as far as I know, everybody is coming back and plans on being here next year and ready to get back after it.
Based on what you were saying about the assistants, I mean, it had been reported that Rick had maybe interviewed for a couple of jobs. At this point, is that one of those still a possibility?
Yeah, I think he's still involved in one. I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that and which one and where's it at, and that's not for me to say. I need to have people that people want, and I need to be a coach that people are wanting to contact. If people aren't wanting to contact me and people aren't wanting to contact our staff, then we're probably not being as successful as we need to be. And so I look at some of that as good problems to have. It means you have good people that are doing their jobs, and people are recognizing that in the basketball community. And if administrators and people like that are recognizing it, then coaches and recruits and those kinds of people are recognizing it as well.
In a much different way, could Bobo be next year's Xavier Anderson in terms of guys?
I think this is a big year. This is a huge offseason for Bobo, because I really feel like he has a chance to come in and play, you know, more than like every other game, 5 minutes. I think he has a chance to be a 15-minute player. I want him to be that. I know he wants to be that. I think he's made strides physically, number one. I think one of the biggest things that we've done to change Bobo is to make him bigger, is to have him lift more, get bigger, get stronger. With that, I think, has come some confidence. With that has come a bigger base, that so now he's able to make more plays around the basket and finish. And that has to go another – he's got to do it again. He's got to put on another 15 pounds. And, he's, you know, hopefully that'll all make his confidence even higher, make him a little more comfortable to finish again. There's going to be good days and bad days, because in some ways, he's going to be like a freshman or sophomore next year, even though he's a senior when he plays. So he's not going to always be consistent. But I do think he has an opportunity to be – he has a great opportunity to be a guy that becomes part of the, you know, 6-7-8-man rotation.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks, sir.
Thank you all.